from WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Students at MIT have uncovered an unexpected link between the founding of the school and slavery. Also, a leaked draft of a UN climate report says that hitting the most ambitious targets of the Paris Climate Agreement will be difficult and will require technologies that can pull carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere. And the athletes aren't the only stars of the Pyeongchang Olympics. There are several dozen robots making headlines of their own. First, there's been a lot of budget action in D.C. in recent weeks. First, Congress actually passed a bipartisan budget deal that covers 2 years, not 2 weeks, not 2 months, 2 whole years. Then President Trump released his own budget proposal for 2019. Joining me now to sort through all of this and figure out what it means for science is Matt Horahan. He's director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks.
Let's talk about the difference, first of all, between the congressional budget deal and this budget proposal that we've seen from the White House. I guess which one are you maybe paying more attention to, and which one, what are some of the differences when it comes to science?
Well, we're following both, and they're both incredibly important for somewhat different reasons. So the budget deal that you referred to, this two-year deal, what it does is it raises the spending caps. Congress put spending caps in place in 2011, and the budget deal actually raises those caps, so allows additional spending. But that's pretty much all it does. It doesn't get into a whole lot in the way of details on how that money should be spent. It simply enlarges the size of the sandbox, if you will. And then once now that the caps have been raised and there's more funding available for whatever purpose Congress chooses, that's when the president releases his budget, and the budget actually lays out proposed spending levels agency by agency, program by program. It contains funding proposals for science across the board, pretty much every agency you could think of. So there's a lot more detail in the president's budget compared to the overall budget deal. But now it's up to Congress to go through the budget, to figure out what they like, figure out what they don't like, and actually negotiate decisions over the next few months on what agencies will actually have to spend in the context of that budget deal.
I'm talking with Matt Horahan. He's the director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The president's budget proposal last year included a lot of cuts to science funding. And the White House plan for 2019, as it was originally put together, also included some cuts that now with this congressional plan that you were mentioning, the expansion of the total budget, allowed some of those cuts to be reversed. So more than a quarter of a cut to the NIH budget, $9.2 billion cut there was added back. NSF budget, $2.2 billion, almost a 30% cut for that budget, again, added back. But then we've got a lot of other cuts to science agencies that didn't come back, even with that expanded budget, right?
That's right. That's right. It's kind of an interesting year. It was pretty apparent up until late last week that the administration, as you say, was planning on repeating last year's budget with some pretty major reductions for research and development in an enormous array of areas, for medical research, environmental research, border security technology. Pick your focus or your priority, and that area was likely going to be cut. But with this last-minute budget deal, the administration did reverse course. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, one of the big points of debate within the federal science budget for many years, not just in the Trump era, is whether government should have a role in basic research, so more fundamental science, and whether government should have a role in more applied research, you know, environmental research that may be more useful for regulatory purposes, or industrial technology research that could be more useful to industry in the nearer term and creating new products, new technologies for the market. And I think people in Washington tend to agree that government's role in basic science, fundamental science, is appropriate. And I think Republicans and Democrats tend to agree with that. So NIH, medical research, it's a very popular agency, a popular area, and many people in Washington are perfectly fine with the NIH budget growing. Similar story with the National Science Foundation, for example. They do a lot of basic research. Where you get into controversy and conflict is over some of those applied programs, so environmental research like EPA or the U.S. Geological Survey. For, well, a variety of reasons, some folks argue that government should be doing less in that area. For some people, it's an objection to the potential for regulation. If you better understand the environment, perhaps the fear is you can better regulate it. In the energy technology realm is another one. It tends to be pretty divisive. And there are many folks in Washington who argue that government shouldn't be doing as much as they have historically on in areas like solar energy R&D or nuclear energy R&D. And the government has played a pretty large role in driving advances in new energy technologies. But some folks would argue that those kinds of activities are better left up to the private sector. And I think that's, you know, it's a misreading of the market. It's a misreading of what industry is actually willing to do. But that's the opinion. That's the argument that you hear. Now, in the Trump administration budget, they've basically taken the side of government doing more in the basic science realm. So again, your NIH, the more popular kinds of programs, ended up protected in this budget, but they stuck to their guns on environmental research, on applied science, on energy technology, on manufacturing technology. I mean, these are areas, again, where government has to work more closely with the private sector to advance innovation, advance new technologies. And the administration, from the start, has been very skeptical of a lot of those kinds of programs. And that's where they kept the cuts in place. Even as this 11th hour change of direction, they were restoring a lot of the basic science cuts.
My guest is Matt Horahan. He's the director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. I wonder how many of those cuts you think actually will end up going through, because there's also a divide between what the White House is asking for and what Congress has traditionally done. And there are a couple of cuts that we saw both last year and in the past, programs like there's a program called Sea Grant that does a lot of outreach and education work with ocean science. We've got a Sea Grant Center at MIT and here in Woods Hole. That program has been put on the chopping block multiple times in the past, you know, decade or two decades. And every time Congress has come back and said, no, we actually need to keep this. It's again, the Trump budget proposal would zero out the Sea Grant program. Do you think it'll actually go through?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because we've already had kind of a trial run for some of these cuts in last year's budget. And what we saw in last year's budget is that a lot of those reductions Congress pushed back on either partially or entirely. And Sea Grant is one where it has been popular with appropriators. And so that one, it's a program that I think is unlikely to stay on the chopping block. Congress restored that program's funding last time around. At least it looks like they're about to. They still have to finalize 2018 funding before they can get to 2019. But they've restored a lot of that funding for NOAA Sea Grant. Another program maybe worth mentioning would be NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They have a lot of lab programs on measurement science and other areas. They also do a lot of work in the manufacturing realm. And that set of programs was another one where the administration had sought some pretty major cuts and eliminations in their prior budget, and Congress restored most of that funding during appropriations. And then maybe the last one I'll mention, again, is energy technology, which has been targeted by this administration more than most other areas, maybe with the exception of climate research. And there are a lot of supporters in Congress, especially in the Senate, of the Department of Energy's technology development activities, their innovation activities. They're supporters of programs like the Advanced Research Projects Agency Energy, or ARPA-E. It's a relatively young, relatively new, and relatively small innovation agency within the Department of Energy. Do a lot of really far-reaching, high-risk, radical technology innovation. The administration has tried to zero them out a couple of times now. And again, they've got some pretty strong supporters in the Senate, as well as the House. And so far, it doesn't look like that program is going to be, most likely not going to be eliminated. It's going to be preserved and perhaps even increased given the new budget deal. So, and again, you know, these are all areas that showed up in last year's budget as places for cuts and reductions, and Congress has resisted those. And there's no reason to believe that Congress won't resist a lot of these reductions again this time around.
I'm talking with Matt Horahan. He's the director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. As you mentioned, that push to eliminate ARPA-E, the Advanced Research Projects, is it Agency for Energy, as part of the DOE. But then actually the president's budget proposal calls for giving an additional $1.5 billion to the Department of Energy specifically for research. And some of that's going to fossil fuel research and some would go to renewable energy research. But it seems like perhaps an odd contradiction there. And you see that throughout this budget proposal, climate research programs being targeted for cuts, climate science centers being targeted, but then disaster relief funding going up. At FEMA, a $500 million grant program for disaster preparation going ahead, but flood mapping and risk analysis program taking a cut by almost half. I mean, do you have any insights into some of these apparent contradictions in the budget?
Well, I mean, again, you know, budgeting is about choosing. On the environmental science front, again, I mean, there has from the start been a lot of hostility from this administration for climate research and other and those kinds of programs. I mean, their number one priority isn't really. I mean, it's not an administration that's really looking to prioritize science and technology. What they're really trying to do is save money. They're more concerned with reducing the non-defense portion of the federal budget than investing in these different kinds of research areas. And in fact, they're actually leaving about $57 billion on the table. That cap deal that I mentioned that Congress reached recently, it allows the caps to go up even further than the administration is willing to spend. Most administrations and most in Congress, you know, when they've got a spending cap, they're more than happy to spend right up to that cap because there are a lot of priorities, a lot of really important things that government has to do. And so when they've got the resources, they're able to make good use of them. What we've got here is a budget that is literally saying, we're going to cut all of these programs. We have the money. We could go ahead and plug that money back in to preserve things like flood mapping and other areas, you know, climate research that you mentioned. We could have restored that funding, but we'd rather simply let those dollars evaporate because we simply aren't going to prioritize research in these areas. And it's a pretty striking choice to make. I think most administrations wouldn't do that. But this is, you know, again, this is an administration that isn't really interested in trying to prioritize research and technology, much more interested in shrinking the size of many government programs.
Before I let you go, the other big thing on Capitol Hill right now, of course, is President Trump's infrastructure package proposal. And during the State of the Union address, the president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, your organization, was tweeting that the president should consider science and research to be fundamental and critical infrastructure for our country going forward. Is there any science or research infrastructure in that package that you're aware of?
Not that I've seen. It doesn't mean it couldn't be added by Congress later. And I think that's been the hope for a lot in the science community in D.C. is that Congress will end up taking the lead on research infrastructure as a portion of this potential infrastructure package. And it would make a lot of sense. I mean, we have an enormous array of labs and computing facilities and particle accelerators and equipment shops and lots of facilities related to the science and technology enterprise. But many of them are getting older. Funding isn't always available to modernize or upgrade or maintain a lot of these facilities, both within federal agencies and public labs, but also in university labs. And so it would make a lot of sense. I mean, there is certainly a lot of room and pretty major backlogs in regarding research infrastructure maintenance and upgrades. And so the need is certainly there. Whether Congress actually is willing to commit the resources and find ways to address those needs, and that very much remains to be seen.
Matt Hourihan is the director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, new revelations about MIT's historic ties to slavery. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.